Well, the weathering is occurring on the outside surface primarily, but if you put something in that actually creates too big a gap, okay, then it destabilizes the layers and the clay mineral can start to fall apart. So as we'll see, there are certain things called swelling clays where that's a problem. So our true micas then are a common part of our clay minerals. The examples I indicated early on were biotite and muscovite, and both of them, as you can see, are sheet silicates clearly, and both of them 2-to-1 clay minerals where we have got cations sitting in the interlayer space. I mentioned before that these formulas here are indicating that we've got variable, it can either be magnesium or iron sitting in the octahedral positions now. We've also got aluminium sitting in the octahedral positions, and then those silicons are over the tetrahedral sheet. The true relationship though is more accurately represented by this formula here to indicate the actual repeat unit that we find in the structure. The secondary silicate minerals are also given various titles. Hydrous micas is one name. They still have the same sheet-like nature, which is characteristic of mica. But the hydrous ones then are able to hydrate the cations in the interlayer space, hence their name. So we get a weathering sequence where biotite and muscovite as primary minerals, they weather. The chemical change then turns these things into vermiculite, which is still a 2-to-1 mineral. But this one has got some exchange capacity. It then weathers to smectite, which now has got substantial exchange capacity. And then finally, it loses the relationship of 2-to-1 and drops back to a 1-to-1 mineral, and it's now got no exchange capacity of kaolinite clay. And then after kaolinite clay, this thing then falls apart into the end members, so you'll end up with quartz and an aluminium oxide, which is insoluble, coming out.